Hi everyone, I'm Aaliyah Kemet, and welcome to Phenomenal Grit, career conversations for women of color. It's time to get intentional about why you are here. This podcast is all about winning. Winning at work, winning in your career, and finding happiness and joy in the process. Each episode, I'll either be talking to an amazing and inspiring guest or sharing stories and lessons from my own personal career journey. It's time to invest in you, with you. Let's get into it.
Today's episode of Phenomenal Grit is a solo cast. When I decided I wanted to host a podcast really about 7 years ago, I always knew I was going to have a format with guests, mainly because I love people. I love connecting with people. I love connecting with women. I love supporting women. And the plan is to have mainly an interview style conversation with women who could inspire, educate, and yes, entertain my audience. But after further fleshing out the format, I decided I would also offer advice from my own personal experience. Originally, this first solo cast was going to be about mentors. My mentors and sponsors specifically, and some of the awesome folks I've come across over the past several years who've helped me in my career. But I decided we're going to start with a talk about confidence instead. And here's why. Several weeks ago, I was on a panel discussing my career and what it was like to be a Black woman in corporate America, my achievements, some of my challenges. So for those of you who don't know me personally, I lead creative and digital marketing for McCormick & Company, the flavor company, you know, like the spices that you have in your cabinets. McCormick owns brands like, of course, obviously McCormick, McCormick Gourmet, French's Mustard, Frank's Red Hot, Zatarain's, Old Bay, which is one of my all-time favorites. These are just a few of them. Ultimately, I'm responsible for developing creative campaigns, content, and the digital experience for 20 brands across North America. So that's kind of an easy way to explain it. And I lead a multifaceted group of amazing humans and agency partners to make all of this happen. So it's a pretty awesome gig. So I'm on this panel discussing my work and my philosophy for leading and growing teams, and I was asked a question that I just wasn't ready for. Someone in the virtual audience asked, "How am I so confident?" It was something like, "Aaliyah, you are so confident. Most women don't have that confidence. How does a person become confident if they don't naturally have confidence?" Yo, this question completely threw me off. And I don't know why. Like, it shouldn't have been that hard to answer the question. But it did. Really, it threw me off. And I answered it, but really, my answer sucked. Like, it really wasn't any good. It just sucked. It was some blah, blah, blah answer about knowing yourself and always being authentic, which I do believe is true, but authenticity was not the correct answer to that question. And frankly, I think someone needs an actionable answer to how do I become more confident. Authenticity is the answer to another question, just not that one. And actually, it's the answer to many questions. And I'll save that for another solo cast. So I'm butchering this question on this panel, y'all, right? I'm just like, it is not, in my opinion, it was not a good and acceptable answer. And the people are thanking me. And I realize in that moment, I hadn't given it enough thought. And so I've actually been thinking about it really for weeks ever since that day. Not long after that panel, someone on my team told me, "I hope one day I will have the confidence you have." Now, this is a young woman she has phenomenal grit. Like, she's remarkable. And it was very important to me that she understood the truth, at least my truth, that I'm scared and uncomfortable a lot, like a lot. But I have chosen to do big, scary, sometimes bold and uncomfortable things all the time, because what I've learned is that courage over discomfort is how you win. And I really like winning. So how does one develop confidence, or I'm going to say the illusion of confidence, because I'm not sure it's really a thing, confidence. I think it's something that kind of ebbs and flows. I think it's shaped and developed over time and through positive experiences. I think people who look confident do so because they have had enough experience winning and developing formulas in their life for winning that confidence ensues. So yes, dear audience member from a panel a few weeks ago who asked the question that I totally gave an inept answer to, a person who doesn't seem confident can absolutely become confident. You can become more confident at work, but I believe it starts with having enough positive winning experiences in your life and really understanding what the winning is for you. What does it look like for you? Allowing that feeling of winning to wash over you, and then you'll be able to start to duplicate it. So I'm going to take it back to my first job. The first job I ever had when I was 14 years old. I wanted to get a job so bad, I remember this, and I went to a local strip mall in Wheaton, Maryland, which is where I grew up, and I applied for jobs. I ended up getting a job working at a women's clothing store, but I was actually too young to do most of the things you needed to do to work there. I couldn't work on the sales floor, and I couldn't be a cashier because you had to be at least 16 years old for that. I was hired to take the clothes out of the boxes and place them on hangers to be placed on the sales floor. Now, this was the most boring job in the world. Like, there was no social media, no iPhones, I mean, nothing. It was awful. It was just you and the garment after garment after garment in a sad back room in the store, and you had to take the garment out of the box, and there was paper, and there was plastic, and you had to put it on the hanger, and you had to put it on the rack, and it just was not fun. And you were alone with your mind for hours. And let's remember that I'm an extrovert. I do remember sometimes bringing a Walkman because I remember I had like four tapes. I had a Debbie Gibson tape, a Tiffany tape, a Salt and Pepper tape, and a mixtape I made from the radio. So the millennials like might have to Google these artists, but Gen Xers, y'all know what's up. Okay, so this was me. I knew the clothes because I took the clothes out of the boxes. So this was like from age 14 to 15. And then Sandra, my boss, decided to teach me something new because I was pretty curious. And I used to ask a lot of questions when she was merchandising the store. So I'm bringing the clothes out from the back on the racks, and I would sometimes be allowed to stay out there and place them on the floor. And I had a special interest in dressing the windows. Okay, so this was early 90s. The window is your Pinterest. The window is your Instagram. It is your banner ad and your email campaign too. The window is everything. You need to know your target and make a window that will entice folks to come into the store. So Sandra taught me how to do this, and I absolutely loved it. Now, what did I love about it? I loved knowing my customers. I could tell you the kind of customer that came in that store and what she wanted. When the Leisure World bus pulled up twice a week, oh, goody. So that's the bus from the seniors community. I knew just what those little old ladies wanted, and we had the goods. And I learned how to take the intel and dress the windows in a way that was inviting and increased sales. I was really good at it at like 15. And it required thought. So it wasn't being stuck in the back room, taking clothes out of boxes. And I took my time with it because I knew that as soon as those windows were done, there would be more boxes to unpack because I still wasn't 16. So this was when I started to understand what it was like to be kind of good at something at work. And it's where I developed an understanding for targeting and customer engagement and even the creative process. But I wasn't done, y'all, because I'm still not 16. And all I really wanted to do was sell the damn clothes. So I'm like, put me in, coach. But I'm still not 16. So, like, she couldn't. One thing I forgot to mention, there was this woman who worked there, Jenny. I mean, she had to be between 70 and 80 years old, and she was the top sales girl in the store. Jenny was fire. She was an elderly white woman, and she walked very slowly, and I adored her, and she adored me, and she would come in the back and talk to me, and sometimes I would help her when she was selling clothes, and she needed something like another size, and she was probably my best friend in that store, because I swear to God, I can't remember any of the everybody else's name who worked there, but I remember her well. Okay, so now I know the clothes, I know the store, I know the customers, I know what the customers want, I know how to put the pieces together because I had mastered merchandising the store. And now, y'all, guess what? I'm 16, right? And they gave me a bronze name tag with Aaliyah Hashem. Hashem is my maiden name on it. And I was so proud, like proud to sell those darn affordable fashions. I mean, you really couldn't tell me nothing. And you know what happened? I sucked at it. No, just kidding. I was like the best 16-year-old sales girl they had ever seen. And Sandra would set a goal every day for the store. And then she set a goal for each person working in the store based on how many hours you were working. So if you ever worked in fashion retail, this is familiar to you. And I would crush my goals. And why? Because I like the feeling of big goals and crushing the big goals. And so she would give me even a harder and more aggressive target. And then I would crush that one too. And I really enjoyed it. And I had waited years at this point, right? To do what? Sell the clothes to the people. And now that the state of Maryland deemed me old enough to do it and get paid, I was gonna do it. And then I'm realizing they had a special club. Oh my God, they got a club for sales girls, for the top sales ladies. And Jenny was a member of it, and it was called the President's Club because apparently the president has a special like luncheon and all the top sales ladies get to go and they get this pretty piece of crystal. What 16, 17-year-old would not love a piece of crystal, right? And these are people who would sell over $100,000 a year. But Jenny also worked there full-time. And I was told people who worked part-time would not be able to make it into the President's Club. You just aren't there long enough to sell over $100,000 a year in this relatively inexpensive clothing market. But what did I tell you about big goals? I really, really like them. And so what did I do? Yep. I made it into the President's Club and I got my crystal rose bowl. I still have it to this day. I was the youngest person in the company to ever make it into the President's Club and to sell $100,000 a year part-time. So why am I telling this story? One, it's insightful to know how a person began working. And two, I wanted you to take away that I had fallen in love with winning at work at a very young age. And more than ever for me, it was setting hard goals and achieving them. And I'm very clear about that. I like to win at work, and I discovered this about myself before I went to college. And I do it for me because it gives me personal satisfaction. Now, the only thing that feels better than winning for yourself, it's just like sports. It's winning with a team. I have been formally leading teams for over 15 years now, and my teams know that I set hard goals, big goals, goals that some might consider unattainable, and together as a team, we crush those goals. And then it's contagious because everyone is winning together, and that feels even better, and it's fun. And then at that point, there's no going back to kind of sort of delivering, because who doesn't want to be on a team of winners who crush hard goals? And I'm going to tell you what it starts to resemble. It starts to resemble confidence. It really does. So I'm going to take it back to winning, which is something that can be cultivated and developed and started at any time, and something everyone can do. Everyone can increase their winning moments. I'm going to share 5 ways to increase your winning moments and develop confidence. Number 1, look for opportunities to attain small winning moments. Moments where you can achieve something at work that will mean people will start to pay attention to you. These don't have to be large moments because they do add up. And they can also be smaller projects. Or some of the ones I like are projects that no one really wants to take on. So when I developed the first social media strategy for IKEA, this was like 2007, 2008. It was scary for retailers to get involved in social media at that time because social media was so new and people didn't really know how to show up on Facebook as a retailer, especially big box retailers. They hadn't really figured out what they would do in these spaces. Nobody was raising their hand to do it, and it didn't come with a promotion or any additional pay. But I raised my hand and I did it, and I did it well, and it became a really big win for me. 2, look for surprising winning opportunities. Where are we as a company leaving opportunity or leaving money literally on the table? Where is the white space in your company that might change the trajectory of the company or growth opportunities? You can apply this to your own personal business as well. 3, look for opportunities to win outside of work. If you listen to episode 2 featuring Erica Harris, she talks about this, finding opportunities to develop your skills outside of work by working for community, professional organizations, or even religious organizations. This will give you an opportunity to practice leading, speaking up, sharing your ideas, and you will certainly have some success, which equals winning moments. 4, find opportunities to network at work. Networking and relationship building will increase confidence and winning moments. I would say have lunch or coffee with coworkers, but you can still do that virtually in these pandemic times. So virtually you can do that. But you want to get to know people and allow people to get to know you. If you are not very extroverted, you don't need to develop good relationships in big groups. You can do it one-on-one. But remember, things get done through people. And speed and agility, which often goes hand in hand with winning moments, are increased when you have strong relationships to move things forward. 5, lead with the good. People hate bad news. Sure, sometimes things can't be achieved, but leaders really don't want to hear that things can't be done. They actually want you to tell them you can do the impossible. And you know what? Sometimes you can. But when you can't and you have to say that you can't, then find something you can share as well that you can do. Find something good. There's always something good that you can bring to the table if you look for it, and it's a great way to achieve small winning moments, finding the good when it seems like everything is gonna suck. These 5 ways to increase winning moments: look for opportunities to attain small winning moments. Look for surprising winning opportunities. Look for opportunities to win outside of work and find opportunities to network at work. And finally, lead with the good, finding the good when it seems like everything is just gonna suck. Finally, I want you to make a list of all of the winning moments you will go after and document all the winning moments you achieve as you achieve them. Literally, check those winning moments off. Set big goals. This is the bonus one. Set big goals. Set big goals for yourself, not just for the company, do it for you. Some people set the wimpiest, saddest goals. Don't be a sad goal setter, be a winning goal setter. You should be able to connect your goals to driving and growing revenue or operational success in your business, no matter what your role is and what level you are at. I was doing this when I was 16, so I'm sure we can all do it today. And don't play it safe. When COVID hit, we were really given permission to adjust our goals. The company would have understood. I could have eased back on those goals because, I mean, pandemic, right? I could have adjusted those goals down. And I believe there would have been understanding. But like in my soul, I know I'm really dramatic here. Like in my 16-year-old sales girl, president's club, go-getter self, I knew that my team and I could still achieve those goals. And I said, team, this team was built for this moment. Okay, they absolutely have to think I'm crazy. I know they do. But anyway, I did say this. And we did adjust our goals. We made them harder. We made them bigger. We stretched ourselves. And we met them. And boy, do I have some confident people on my team. Confidence is like a muscle. You need to work it so it can grow. And I believe winning and winning moments, tiny, small, big, or great, are the way to get there. Let's go out there and make some. You've been listening to Phenomenal Grit, Career Conversations for Women of Color. And this is your host, Aaliyah Kemet. Send me feedback or thoughts to Aaliyah at phenomenalgrit.com. That's Aaliyah, no Y's, no H's, A-L-I-A, at phenomenalgrit.com. Please subscribe to Phenomenal Grit and leave a rating or review wherever you listen to podcasts.